Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
American V. Script is a Grammy-nominated songwriter, producer, and A&R trailblazer hailing from New Orleans. A creative force behind hits by Chris Brown, Danny Lee, and Eric Bellinger, he also serves as head of A&R for Rodney Darkchild Jerkins. As founder of Superfriend Music and Billy Dat Music Group, V. Script has earned multiple gold and platinum plaques and played a key role in discovering viral sensation Jake. In 2022, he launched his own sound, Afro Bounce, a powerful fusion of Afrobeat and New Orleans bounce, designed to move bodies and build bridges across cultures. South African Luke Goliath is a multi-genre producer, lead guitarist, DJ, and graphic artist, with a sharp focus on electronic music, Afro House, as an artist. He blends diverse influences to craft a distinct and boundary-pushing sound. Luke has collaborated with artists like Shekana, Loiso, Eric Bellinger, V-Script, Rourke Bailey, and Musa Keys, earning recognition in both local and international music scenes. He is also published by Rodney Darkchild Jerkins, a testament to his impact as a producer and songwriter. Up next on Celeb Savant, discussing their journey in the entertainment world, and more about their latest collaboration, How You Move, is V-Script and Luke Goliath.
So where are you guys and how are you doing?
Good. We're in Cape Town. We're in Cape Town, South Africa, Cape Town.
V-Script, how did you choose your stage name? Where does it come from?
It comes from because, a lot of people used to call me when I first started songwriting. They used to say my song was so descriptive that it was like a movie script.
Yes.
So then I took the first initial from my first name and then added to V-Script. So that's how I got my writing name, my artist name and songwriting name.
Okay, so heading to Luke now. Luke, at what age, whether as a child or teenager, did you think, cool, you want to be creating music in this world, and how did that journey progress?
I was in grade 6. We had a careers day, and I was like, I think 2 nights before the careers day, I was like, yeah, what do I want to be with my life? And I was like, I want to be a rock star. Mm-hmm. And then even I went to school, I was wearing like skinny jeans. I painted my nails black. I was wearing like my mom's eyeliner. And yeah, I was pretty much the laughing stock that day because everyone came dressed as like doctors and astronauts and like different shit. And then I was there, like, yeah, in tight jeans and black nails.
So when everyone was laughing with you, how did you just brush that off or did that affect you in a way?
I think it motivated me more to pursue it.
And so from that stage, what were the next steps? So you got out of school. How did that concept and idea come to you doing it professionally?
So I obviously had no idea how I was going to do it. I just knew, okay, cool. First step, I need to learn to play an instrument if I want to be a rock star. So I picked up the guitar, started learning that. I was in a few bands. That didn't work out because no one was as committed as me to the whole music thing. And I remember I went to go study. I was at college studying design, and my dad said, this is the last thing I'm going to get you. And it was a MacBook. So I got the MacBook. I found GarageBand on there. And then I realized, yo, I can record all my guitar parts. And then I later figured out I could record drums. And then I was like, yo, I can be the whole band. I don't need a band anymore. And then, yeah, I got into production from there.
So V-Script, heading over to you, at what age, whether as a child or teenager, did you think, cool, I want to be in this world? And how did that journey progress?
So for me, it started with choreography. It started with dancing.
Okay.
So started up there from high school, was dancing, and I was into poetry. So I was always into arts. So, and every Sunday, my dad was a record collector. So my dad used to collect like the Isley Brothers, Rick James, Marvin Gaye, Smokey Robinson, Sam Cooke. So that was our rich Sunday ritual every Sunday, listening to music. So music was always embedded into me. So, you know, and if currently, you know, music and dancing go together. It's like husband and wife. So me and my brother used to go around the talent shows in New Orleans. We used to win all the talent shows in dancing. One time we won a situation to where we won this big talent show where we got to, with our group, we got to open up and dance with Omarion's choreographer. Once I figure out, you know, I wasn't gonna go full throttle with dancing, I went back to poetry. So then I met one of my mentors, Diesel Harrison, who did Lollipop for Lil Wayne and Mrs. Officer for Lil Wayne on the Carter Three. Mm-hmm. He heard one of my poems and he was like, yo, your poems has a rhythm. So he was like, bro, you should, you know, let me show you how to write melody and master it in a songwriting form. And then when that happened, that was around, I was like 21, 22. And then from there on, I ain't write another poem. Everything been songs ever since.
What is the difference between writing a poem and writing a song?
Poetry is you read, you know, it's just words without melody, without melodic. So the difference with song, Matt, you had to learn how to write in bars, write in pre-hooks, write in the formula that we write in, and master melody. You know what I'm saying? Master melody and stuff like that. And more structure. It's more structured than a poem. It's just actually just writing versus a song. It's how, you know, it's broken down into structure. But the most part is learning how to perfect melody. So once I learned that, that was it. That was the difference between the two for me.
Luke, how do you create a song?
I pick up an instrument or I'll flip through samples until I find something that sticks, and then from there we'll just like start building on that idea. But I think, like, for me, as far as music is concerned, melodies, like melody and chords, I feel like those are the two most important things for me. So like there's oftentimes we'll have sessions where we don't even add drums. As long as we have like a strong chord line and a melody line, we can complete an entire song and come back to drums afterwards. Because it's like Fidel said, the chords, we need the chords first, because the chords are like the coordinates to the entire song.
V, anything to add? Your creative process in creating a song, how is that for you?
Same thing. Melody first. Melody first before I even think about what I'm going to say. Because melody is the most powerful part of the song. That's what makes us remember the song. That's what makes the song catchy. And then lyrics come second for me. So melody first. I hear a track. Luke may pull up a track. I lay down a melody and I structure it out all the way in my head, from my hook to pre-chorus to hook. So it's a formula.
Okay, so you're both referencing melody. I'm not sure if you guys are aware of NLP. So NLP is neuro-linguistic programming. So this is the way people process information. Each of us have a dominant one. There's a secondary and tertiary. So something kicks in for each of us as a young child, which allows us to put these into place. Dominant means that you'll be in it most of the day. Secondary, maybe a couple of hours, and tertiary, maybe half an hour, if at all. Now, there are three processing skills, namely visual. So visual people process information through creating pictures in their mind. Auditory people, it's about the words, the sentences, and the paragraphs. So they understand the word, put it into a paragraph or sentence, and so forth. Then you've got kinesthetic people, which is about the emotion, the energy, the tone of voice, and those type of elements. Now, Luke, you first, focusing specifically on music. When you're listening to songs of your own or by other artists, are you seeing pictures? Is it about the lyrics or is it about the emotion?
I definitely see pictures. Like, especially when it comes to like more personal projects, I always like, I like sunsets. I like songs that remind me of sunsets. So always like deep reverbs, things that are very washed out. I like that because it reminds me of a sunset. It's almost like it's underwater, if that makes sense.
Okay. And V, for you, what is it, also visual or is it emotional or is it our audio?
For me, it's emotional. I listen to how it makes me feel before I analyze it. Because, you know, I go off of pure gut feeling. You know, and I feel like that's how I kind of go into things. I do that with everything, like from picking, you know, even from my music executive side of me, like picking artists, going back to how we used to do it back in the days where we signed stars over our gut feeling, over the feeling that they gave us.
And Luke, when you are listening to songs by other artists, are you able to relax and just listen to it for what it is? Or is your creative brain unpacking what you're listening to all the time?
If I listen to old records that like I grew up on, I can get lost in it. But when it comes to the more newer stuff, I listen to like understand what's happening and how the song's being made, what synths they're using. But if I want to relax and enjoy music, then definitely the older stuff.
And V, for you?
Everything's different. So to me, it's go off the feeling. The feeling, whether it's new or old, if it gives me that magical feeling, I'm going to analyze it.
Luke, how did the collaboration with V come to be?
So it actually started with Ross Lowe. There was this video me and my friend Luis had done that went like super viral. Justin Bieber posted it. A few people hit me up. Ross Lowe hit me up as well. We connected via Instagram DMs. We're chatting for a bit. He flew down to Cape Town, flew me out. We had like our first meeting. We connected. From there, we had Ross Lowe had his first camp in Cape Town, which is where I met V-Script and like the rest of the Safety Club team. And me and V connected there. We wrote a few records. And yeah, we've just been sharing ideas, staying in comms via FaceTime, sticks, and yeah, just all the camps.
When you say camps, is that songwriting camps?
Songwriting camps, yes. Okay. So,
V, from your side, tell us your story of how the collaboration came to be.
Same way. So one of my good friend, longtime friend, Ross Lowe, who invited me to South Africa for this first writing camp that he put together, and met Luke during the writing camp. And you know, ever since, man, me and Luke been jailed and locked in. We built the bond, and you know what I'm saying? And you know, music to me, music, when you're making music together, you're vulnerable with each other because you're letting each other into your creative space. So we built the bond, and then it started reflecting in the music. So the music, our chemistry started getting crazy and crazier, and the rest is history.
I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. Obviously, Luke, as you know, in South Africa, there's not much of a market for it. But overseas, the UK, the US, massive comeback of physical. A couple of years ago in the UK, 5.9 million vinyls sold, the biggest since 1990. Last year in the UK, there's a basket of products that they gauge exchanges on. And based on daily exchanges, which has to be high, they put these products into the basket. Now, because of the upsurge of CDs again, CDs are now back in this basket in the UK. And the research is showing that it's the younger kids that are diving into this world, not the older nostalgic people. Then obviously we have the streaming platforms that people are consuming music on. V, what is your observation of the landscape at the moment?
History always repeats itself. You know, it's just like new brands. I look at it like everything is like, everything always get recycled and come back. Just like fashion, bell bottoms back, cropped shirts are back. So this was broken by the generation before us. And now, you know, new kids are, you know, with the tools of TikTok, these guys, they are discovering new things and discovering new trends and discovering things that's coming to life again. So I just think it's the full circle moment. It's how life is.
Luke, anything to add to that?
I couldn't disagree with V at all. Like you said, everything that should be said on that one.
What's coming up over the next period of time, V?
We're going to drop like two more singles, and then August, drop the EP, pushing the genre, pushing this new fusion, New Orleans bounce and Afro, whether it's New Orleans bounce mixed with house, mixed with Afro beats, I'm a piano. So we're pushing the genre of bridging the gap between culture. And I'm super excited because this is how we connect. This is how we, you know, we connect culture. We connect with people. I think the world is big. And my big brother, Rodney Jerkins, always tell me, like, yo, think big. Think beyond where you're from. Say My Name would have never been made if he didn't go to London and walked in a club and heard a certain instrument that inspired Say My Name. So I took that, what he said, to heart. And that's what happened when I came to South Africa.
Luke, how do you feel it's important to cross-pollinate genres from different cultures to bring people together?
I think it's very important right now, just because so much music has been made already. And the only way, like, there's nothing new to be created. All we can do right now is merge different worlds. No one can reinvent the wheel. we passed that phase. So right now it's all about genre fusion and genre blending and just connecting through different cultures and making it one.
V, what do you enjoy about collaborating not only with artists in your country, but artists from around the world?
It's always great. It's like going to someone's house and seeing how, someone cook a meal. They might season their food this way, or this person may season their food that way. But it's great to get perspectives because you could take what you like from it to fuse it. So I think it's always keeping us current. It's educating us. It's an educating moment. It's a humbling moment. It's multiple things. It promotes growth. It promotes unity. So I'm all for that. Like that's what I lead with.
Luke, I'm giving you this question first. I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 5 minutes, 5 years, 10 hours, I know your answer will be different every time. I'm not saying favorite, I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to five other artists once we finish this conversation, who would those artists be? And if you could think of specific songs of those artists, what would the songs be?
The Goo Goo Dolls, Iris, Guns N' Roses, Sweet Child O' Mine,
Yep.
Prince, Purple Rain, V-Script, Lookalike, How You Move, of course. And then Eric Bellinger, Shooting Star.
Lovely. V, what are your five?
How You Move, V-Script, Luke and Goliath.
Of course, yes. There we go. Yeah.
R. Kelly, Forever. Marvin Gaye, Let's Get It On. Drake, Marvin's Room, Destiny's Child, Say My Name.
So, Luke, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say to the audience?
Be delusional, chase your dreams. Anything's possible. Anything is possible. As long as you believe you put the work in and you have faith in that pictures, the images that have been put in your mind, because those images have been put in your mind by higher power, and you should follow through.
V, what would you like to say?
I like to say to everybody that's listening, if you have a dream, whatever your goal is, always keep in mind of the dream, but always be open-minded to the destination, to the dream changing. It doesn't matter how you get there, as long as you get there. So don't get stuck on one way to get there when there's multiple ways to get there.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.